Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this opportunity to be together, to look at your word. So we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will open our hearts this morning to receive your word to us as individuals, to hear you and to know that you love us with all your heart. Indeed, that above all, when you were dying on that cross, you did it for each one of us here. And so we thank you for your word, and we pray that it might speak deep into our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you're ever guilty of sometimes looking at folks and thinking, oh, they have a nice life, don't they? Everything's honky-dory for them. I have to admit that sometimes I've thought that of folks as well. And yet it's probably not really true, is it? Because none of us go through life without difficult and hard times. And this was true too for Paul when he was writing this letter to the church in Philippi. He was in prison at this time. So if you would turn to the passage in the New Testament to page 212, we're going to be looking at this together this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and from verse 4 to 16. And this is a passage chosen because of our special service this morning. So unfortunately, we're not looking at Colossians together today. So how does he begin in the part that we began to read? Rejoice in the Lord always. This is Paul in prison, and he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say, rejoice. Well, that's probably not what you would expect to hear from somebody like Paul, because there he was in chains, in prison. But you see, Paul knew that our true source of joy is Jesus himself. And Jesus was with him there in prison. So although his circumstances were pretty dire, Paul knew in his heart that whatever was going to happen to him, Jesus would always be with him. He is the source of joy. So he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus has died, has risen, and is with you today by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so often we don't do that, do we? So why is Paul saying this to the church at Philippi and to you and me today? Well, he recognized that so often we need encouragement. All of us need encouragement, don't we? And because we can be so easily discouraged when something goes wrong in our lives, or we get sick and things don't happen as we expect them to do, or when other circumstances are really tough, or sometimes we can take things that are really not that important, but we take them too seriously and they become a big obstacle in our lives. So Paul knew that we needed encouragement, and we need to encourage one another, don't we? That we can indeed rejoice at all times, as Paul says. Again, I say rejoice. Jesus is the source of your joy. And if he's with you, then you have joy in your hearts. A chorus that we sang many, many years ago, some of you will remember. It was, I'm not going to sing it, keep your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. A few nods. You remember? Great words. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we focus upon Jesus, other things become less important. They fade into the background. So fixing our eyes on Jesus and rejoicing in him, his presence, his love, his forgiveness, we can rejoice. is a matter of how do we do that? We need to do it by spending time in his presence. Just as many of us like to see the sun shining, we don't see it at the moment, but we'd like to see the sun shining and just bathe in its warmth. When we sit in the presence of Jesus, just being with him and experience his presence, we feel his warmth in our lives and we can fix our eyes upon him. Or we take a verse of scripture and we just think about it over and over. What does it mean? What is Jesus saying to me today? And Paul goes on to say, the Lord in verse 5, the Lord is near. He is near us and we can draw close to him. Our true joy is found not in the things of this world, not even in the people of this world, but in Jesus Christ who dwells with us. He is indeed near. And then Paul goes on to say, don't worry about anything. I wonder if people have ever said that to you and you want to say, it's okay for you to say that. And maybe you feel like saying that to Paul as well. But hold on a minute, let's just think about Paul. Paul's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. He isn't being fed three times a day. He's got to wait for somebody to come and bring some food into the prison. So he don't know whether he's going to be able to eat today or tomorrow or whatever. And he doesn't know whether they're going to put him to death. But in that situation, Paul's saying to you and me, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Because actually, Paul's very busy doing other things. We're told in chapter 1, verse 4, he's constantly praying. And then he's busy writing as he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. So this is Paul. So hold on a minute, we have to listen. He's saying this to us, don't worry about anything. Now, some of us are more worriers than others. And it's very difficult, isn't it, to imagine a life without worrying. But Corrie ten Boom said this. I hope you remember who Corrie ten Boom is. She was a Jew in a German concentration camp. She'd lost her parents and she was in terrible circumstances in a concentration camp and saw her sister die. But she said this. Worrying is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Worrying is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. And where does fear come from? Well, not from God, because God says perfect love casts out fear. And yet, what do? We worry about children, we worry about grandchildren, we worry about employment, we worry about finance, we worry about relationships, we worry about sickness. And if you've not got one of those, you'll find something else to worry about. You see, we do, don't we? And we need to learn to put it to God. Imagine not having to worry. So how do we do that? Well, the world has come to the conclusion that we need to talk. And now Ant and Dec, and I think it's on the X Factor, if you've watched it, and you're probably not going to admit whether that you've watched it, but anyway, you probably have. Well, actually, what they've been doing, I didn't see it last night, but I saw it a couple of weeks, and in the middle, they've got this silence. So there's nothing, there's pictures on the screen, but there is silence, and what they're saying to you is, talk to somebody who you're sitting with. And it's all to do, of course, with mental health. And that's good. That's not a bad thing. We need to talk to others, our family, our church family. But Paul is saying, talk to God. We call it prayer, but that's what he's saying. And Paul is saying here, do not worry about everything, but pray more. Pray about it. And in verse 6, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Let your request be known to God. And sometimes, you know, we're not specific, are we? But here it tells us to be specific. We're just a bit airy-fairy in our prayers. Oh, bless me, Lord, or something vague, or, you know, bless the children, or whatever it is. But actually, you know, we don't know a lot of what Jesus prayed, because very often it said Jesus went away to pray to his Father. But sometimes we do know. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if it's possible, let this cup be taken away from me. Jesus was specific in his prayer request at that moment. And Paul says here, we need to be specific about our needs and our desires. Now, why is that important? Well, if we're not specific, we don't know if God has answered our prayers. At the moment, John and I, and lots of others as well, are praying for a young man called James. He's got three little girls, a Christian, and he's been diagnosed with incurable lung cancer. And James sends out prayer letters, and we say, James, how are we to pray? So he said, well, please pray for the tumour to reduce. So that was one, there was others, but that was one of them. And recently when he went for a scan, what had happened? The tumour had reduced. So we say, hallelujah, yes, God has answered our prayers. And so that encourages us to pray more. All right, Lord, that's great, but we can pray now that the tumour will be reduced even more, and so on. You see, when we pray specifically and we get answers to prayers, it encourages us to pray more, to have faith. And so it's good when we pray specifically and we can say, oh, the Lord has answered that. Many people keep a prayer journal and they write down their prayers and they write down the answers when God has answered their prayers too. So Paul says, be specific. Bring your burdens to me. Bring them to me, but leave them there with me. And then Paul says, and when you pray, verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts. The peace of God lights a garrison around our hearts, stopping fear and doubt getting in. Peace, what does it mean? It's a very difficult concept to describe. It isn't just positive thinking. It's not an absence of conflict, but it's that comforting sense of knowing that God is in control and God has heard us. And any doubts that the devil will try to say, because the devil will say, who do you think you are? Praying to God, do you think he's going to listen to you? But you see, when we pray specifically and we get answers to prayer, God's peace comes into our hearts and is like at that garrison around so that those fears and doubts, they can't even get into our hearts. So we have that peace. I think it's a bit like this. A small child falls. They hurt the knee, they graze the knee, it's bleeding. And the daddy comes along and picks them up and, I was going to use a Thai word then, gives them a cuddle. Holds them close to him, and the knee is still hurting and it's bleeding, but suddenly the child is calmed and the tears stop. And I think that's a picture of God with you and me. When we pray with our hurts, with our problems, with our specific requests, it's as though he's like our daddy. He picks us up and holds us close. And his peace gives us that calm and sense of knowing that our God is in control. In that first reading from Psalm 103, it says, our Heavenly Father has compassion on us and wants to hold us close and will draw us close to him. Now, Paul was a prayer. But did you notice too in that second reading that although he's a prayer himself, he thanks the church at Philippi for sharing in his troubles and in his distress, verse 14. was kind of you to share my distress. Now, if Paul needed fellow Christians to share his troubles, don't we? And that's why we have an opportunity each Sunday to have prayer at the back of church, but it's why we have our special service today, so that we have a more upfront opportunity to allow people to pray with us and for us. And people in the prayer ministry team who are here today to pray, they're pleased and honoured to share in your situation and to pray with you. And we hope that some of you will come forward and ask people to pray with you. Because Paul said what a wonderful thing it was that the church at Philippi were praying with him. God is a God of compassion. And we, as his followers, as his family here, we are to have compassion on one another. And we can do that by listening to others, but also by praying with them. Peter in 1 Peter reminds us to cast all our burdens on Jesus Christ. Why? Because he cares for you and for me. That means each one of us here sitting this morning, Jesus cares for you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to unburden yourself upon him. Because he loves you, he has compassion on you, and he wants to heal and help and to bring wholeness. So today, let's give our burden to Jesus, and let's do it by asking a fellow member of the church, one of the prayer ministry people, to pray with you. Paul says in this Philippians chapter, stop worrying and pray. And then we will know the peace of God in our hearts. And I pray that none of us here will go out of this church this morning having something worrying us and we don't ask someone to pray for us. Because God is here amongst us, working by his Spirit, and he wants to bring you peace and wholeness to your life too. Amen.